Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Sunny Marymeadow podcast. I am your host, Liz Fidler, and today I'm going to talk about how I grow 20,000 plus tulips and sell them over a period of time without getting burnt out. There are a lot of things that go into growing and selling tulips, and I want to talk about how I use my high tunnel for both season extension and succession planting. Remember, I am in zone 4B, right smack dab in the middle of central Minnesota, and tulips, people go crazy over them here, but if I just relied on the ones that are planted outside, it never fails. They bloom the day after Mother's Day. It doesn't fail. They bloom at like May 15th, sometimes a little bit earlier, but for the most part, they are blooming mid to late May. And honestly, around here, especially where we get such cold winters, people get spring fever. They want their tulips in April. So we're going to talk about how I use my high tunnel for season extension and succession planting. So first of all, when you buy your tulips, you are going to look at some that are early bloomers, mid bloomers, and late bloomers. Honestly, it's not like they're a month apart. It's not like they're that far apart, but you might be able to break it up a little bit. If you can, my advice would be to do early bloomers and late bloomers. Don't even worry about the middle ones, because what's the point? It's kind of up to you as far as colors and varieties. I'm going to do an updated episode on types of varieties. I've been taking really good notes and trying to not order the tulips that aren't as long stemmed, try to really make sure I get the right one. So I'm going to be doing an updated episode probably sometime, you know, later in the summer. It'll come out because that'll be kind of crunch time for getting your orders in. But, you know, I already have part of my order placed for next year, but just different varieties. And I would recommend doing early bloomers and late bloomers if you're trying to really spread out when stuff are blooming. So now I have a high tunnel, and my high tunnels, I have two of them. One is for ranunculus, and that's not the point of this episode today, but just know that I grow ranunculus in one of them. And I overwintered about a third of the tunnel, and it worked pretty well. I'm going to do an updated episode about when they bloom. But one of the tunnels, and then the rest I spring planted, I soaked them on February 1st. So one tunnel is done for ranunculus. I'm going to let those die back naturally because I do save my corms because I get bigger flowers. And then this tulip, the other high tunnel with the tulips, I will be completely done, have harvested all of them for sure by April 15th, 16th, 17th, something like that. And right now it's April 5th. And then I'm going to turn over that high tunnel. I'm going to add some compost, and then I'm going to plant all of my Lysianthus plugs. So I'll have an entire tunnel of just Lysianthus that will be planted by April 20th. And so that's how I use that tunnel. And then when the ranunculus are done in the other one, I'm going to plant a cover crop, let that start killing that with a tarp in like September. And then I'll probably plant the tulips in that one. And then when the Lysianthus are done, I will plant my ranunculus back in that one. So I try to rotate them. And like I said, I do a cover crop after the ranunculus. So, you know, do I get a cover crop every year inside the tunnel? No, but every other year in every tunnel. So I don't know. We'll see. That's my plan for now. So with my tunnels, I don't have the fancy crank roll up sides with a heater. I just have the ones where you lift the sides up and down. My tunnels are pretty inexpensive. I have Dutch doors on the north ends for when I walk in and out, but otherwise I just have zipper ends because I want to be able to drive in and out with the tractor. I plant my tulips. They're not raised beds, but I kind of make my own little raised beds just with the dirt. So I go through and I have a tiller attachment to my tractor. We do not water anything in the high tunnel a couple weeks prior, so it is like powdery dry dirt in there when we're getting ready to plant the tulips. So then we go through with a pass of our 60-inch tiller, and we just make that dirt just powdery, powdery sand. And then I go through with a snow shovel that's probably 14 inches wide, and it's the big square one. And it is seriously the easiest trench you will possibly dig. If you till it first and it's dry, powdery dirt, it takes me 20 minutes to dig that entire trench. And then we can put the bulbs back in, and then we just kind of slide the dirt back on it. So it's almost like temporary raised beds. And so it works really, really well inside of that high tunnel. And that's how we do it in there. Last year I ordered 26,000 bulbs because of the shortage with droughts or floods in Holland, et cetera, et cetera. I don't really understand all of it, but I ended up only getting about 21,000 of the 26,000 I originally ordered. No, that's not true. I got 24,000, I think, and I sold 3,000. So in the forms of bulbs to my local customers. As of now, I don't ship bulbs. Maybe in the fall I would, but I just did them all for pickup last year. And then I plant about 11,000 of them inside the high tunnel in trenches. I did 3,000 in crates, and I did 7,000 outside. So I plan on about a 20% loss with my tulips, which that's quite a bit, but that's what I plan for. I wish it was less, but you know, some varieties it's less, but some of the bulbs just do not come up. And so, you know, 10% on there, 20%. If they end up snapping off, if they end up just not blooming open enough, if I miss them, especially the outside ones, if I harvest them too late, I don't want to sell something that's wide open because it's only going to last 5 days in the vase compared to 10 if I pick it at the right time. So I do plan on a 20% loss. And that's probably pretty generous based on the volume that I grow. I think that, you know, we have a mini series coming up about should you start a flower farm? Not can you, not how to, not why to, but should you? And one of the things I talk about in there is depending on what you're going to grow, and tulips is a really good example. Another one is sunflowers. Another one is peonies. It depends on the flexibility of your schedule. Do you work from home where you can go outside for 20 minutes a couple times a day during your day job, or even if you don't have a day job, even if you're just around, but if you are gone and you're not able to check on these things, there's a pretty time sensitive window and they can blow wide open and you can lose a lot of tulips that you're not going to be able to sell as cut flowers. And so I make sure to like really check on them pretty frequently, but I grow the 11,000 inside and then I did 3,000 in crates, the 7,000 outside. So the 11,000 that I planted inside, basically it's 5,500 on each long path. I did make them 60 inches wide. So it's, you can barely reach the other side from one side, but that's fine by me. I wanted just like a little narrow walkway in between and I can get the sides up as tall as possible. And I think harvesting them is going to be just fine, especially because that dirt was so powdery when I put it on them. I also make sure I use a potato fork when I'm harvesting them to really loosen things up. And another huge tip is I do not plant mixes because they're going to be blooming at different times. So make sure that you're planting, you know, a solid kind of tulips with the ones that are going to be blooming within a day or two of each other instead of all these different varieties that look pretty in landscaping. That's the problem with mixes. When companies will sell those, it's their leftovers. It never is symmetrically perfect, you know, based on what the photo of it looks like. And so if you're going to be tulips, especially, I just think it's the amount of labor and the loss by, you know, prematurely picking other bulbs. It's not going to be good. And so my 11,000 tulips that I have inside, half of them are going to be early bloomers and half of them are late bloomers. So right now, today, it's April 5th. I have about 4 varieties that have 1,500. So 6,000 tulips that I will start picking within the next couple days. So 6,000 of them I'll start picking in the next couple days. I'll put them in like bulb crates. What I'm going to do is I'm going to set up kind of a makeshift station with, you know, a white folding table, my hose. I'm going to clean them. I'm going to process that bottom leaf off of them, and then I can put them in bundles. I haven't decided what that's going to look like yet. My subscriptions get 15 really fancy big bundles, and I have, I don't know, I have like 90 subscriptions, something like that. So 1,300 bulbs per week, because some of them are a delivery, so they're a little bit bigger. So 1,300 bulbs per week times 4 weeks puts me at 5,200. So 5,200 stems are going toward my subscriptions alone. And those will be throughout the month of April. And then I have a stem bar every single week at a different location throughout April, which will be good, fun. I will sell probably 1,000 bulbs at each of those. And then I actually have 3 private stem bars booked for corporate locations over the next 6 weeks. And so in each of those, I think one of them is 70 people at 10 stems a person. So there's 700. The other ones are probably around 400 to 500. And then I have like some centerpieces, some weddings. So I've got probably right now, based on like those events that I know about and the subscriptions and everything, in April, I should have somewhere around 10 or 11,000 sold. So that's basically all of the ones inside. And, you know, I'm not going to do a ton of like, you know, if someone asks me, I mean, if a subscription holder is like, can I get one extra bouquet? Yes, then I'll do it. But I don't have my website open for custom orders, nothing like that. So then the ones that I did in crates, let me tell you right now, that was a bust. But I think it was because it was such an unseasonably warm winter. All of November, December, and part of January, I had the high tunnel wide open because I did not want any extra heat in there. And my second high tunnel I had closed because of the ranunculus that I was trying to overwinter. So if it's 40 degrees inside the tunnel for the ranunculus, awesome, but I don't want it 40 degrees in there for the tulips because I wanted to get colder. So that is why when Flower Farmer Fiance was like, let's just get a 100-foot tunnel. I'm like, nope, I want 2 50-foot tunnels because the needs of ranunculus and the needs of tulips are 2 different things. And so I'm trying to, you know, adjust the temperatures a little bit based on them. Taking a quick break from this episode to talk about invoicing. So I use QuickBooks for my invoicing because it's so easy to just add on the sales tax, take the sales tax away if they're tax exempt. You can choose all of those options. And most of the time in the comment section, I can just click on mail a check or use ACH payment. And that's the options I have for those really, really big purchases or those really, really big sales like brides or when I'm selling wholesale to another florist that has an ST3 form on file. It's just way easier. And then it only takes a 1% fee out if they do the ACH instead of a credit card. So QuickBooks makes it so easy, and I use them for my payroll, my invoicing, my sales tax, everything. There's a reason that QuickBooks will always be my employee of the month, including myself. So head to the episode notes, click the link. You will get 30% off for the first 6 months with my exclusive code. Be sure to use my code rather than just the regular website because this is the best discount you will ever get compared to directly from their website. Thanks. And so I have the tulips in there. And so then those tulips will be processed inside of the high tunnel, or they'll be ready to go. And then I can put them in the cooler as long as I need to. The ones that I did in crates, so they each fit like 77 bulbs. And I don't know, I lost probably half of those 3,000. And I think it was because they didn't get cold enough. I think I might try it again next year with maybe only 500 because, you know, why did I try it for the first time with 3,000? I don't know. But I think it just didn't get cold enough inside of the machine shed that I had them stacked on. I think they dried out. I think they didn't get wet enough. I don't think any of them rotted. They just, I don't know, didn't bloom, or they're blooming really short. I don't know. And so my thought was that those would be blooming earliest because the ground would have frozen in the tunnel. And then these I would have like brought inside the shop and tried to force them a little earlier. But I don't know. Next year, I think I'll bring them inside in like early February, bring them into my heated shop where it's like 50 degrees and try to force those. So that part was a little bit of a bust this year, but we're learning, we're growing. And then the 7,000 that I planted outside, that's what I'm really excited about because right now it's April 5th. Probably a third of them are popping up through the ground. It's usually around April 10th that I see them popping up down there. Now in Minnesota, and this is for a freshly planted tulip bulb grown as a cut flower where you plant them in the fall. Anywhere that I have tulips in my garden beds, they come up earlier. An established perennial tulip seems to come up significantly earlier than a brand new bulb that's, you know, a first-time bloomer grown as an annual, grown as a cut flower. Now, as a reminder, I'm sure this is not news to anyone that's listening to this podcast, but especially these fancy varieties, we treat them as an annual because if you cut them, they will come back just foliage the next year. And I promise that that's true because there's ones that I missed and people say it all the time, like, yep, you can tell how many broke off and on the bulb and it still came up the next year. And it is, you know, it's literally just going to be your leaves. There's no flower on there, or it's a tiny wimpy flower. Maybe with the single stem or the regular like single tulips that aren't like the double fancy ones that look like peonies. But again, they're just not good enough quality for your customer to want to buy them. And the labor of planting a single, you know, a single looking tulip versus a double or fancy one is the same because it's still planting the bulb and whatever. So might as well do the fancy ones and be able to charge a little bit more for them because they are a more premium product. So mine, I'm thinking, are going to be blooming before Mother's Day. Mother's Day this year is a little bit later. This year, Mother's Day is on May 12th. I am thinking that week of May 6th, the week before Mother's Day, my tulips outside will be blooming. So as a reminder of kind of an overview of my flower farm, and I need to record an updated episode of what this sounds like. I think the trailer, I have this in there, but I need to go through and, you know, kind of do a new trailer, I'm thinking. But right now we have 19 rows that are 6 feet wide by 60 feet long. Typically we don't plant the far 2 feet because we have landscape fabric going down. And so we only plant in those middle rows. So sometimes I say 4 feet by 60 feet instead of 6 feet by 60 feet, but it's basically because we don't plant all the way to the edges because there's grass in there. And then we have 4 foot rows of grass in between every single one of those rows. It's beautiful. It's lovely for the U-picks. We absolutely have the space. It looks nice. You can get a lawnmower in between them, our riding lawnmower with the bagger on it. We can get a four-wheeler with the wagons on it in between the rows. It just works great for us, but it takes up quite a bit of space. And so when I say I grow all of my everything on less than a third of an acre, I mean the ground that's actually worked up. I don't count that those grass rows in between, which maybe I should. But anyway, so two of those rows I planted tulips in outside, and each one has 3,500 tulips in it. And stay tuned on what this ends up looking like, because I really want to do a tulip U-pick. It's just the reality of if we do this, I am going to have to spend a day with help digging up all of the bulbs, because if people cut them, I don't trust them to pull them out by the bulb. So maybe we'll be down there, but I just haven't quite decided what that's going to look like. But I'm going to do a tulip U-pick, and I think I'm going to charge, like, you have to buy a ticket, and maybe it'll be 20 tickets a day or something like that. And you have to buy a ticket, and then it's, you know, priced per stem, or you get so many stems for so many dollars. I don't know for sure how I'm going to do it, but I really think that those flowers are going to go crazy, and then I'll have stem bars, and I don't know. I'm hoping that all of the ones inside the high tunnel and everything will be completely done, completely sold, the cooler completely cleaned out. And then these outside ones I can use as a combination of Mother's Day and U-picks, and then save them for later in May for when I have, you know, other events or other bouquets and just kind of custom orders. Because my spring subscriptions, it's 4 weeks of tulips and 2 weeks of ranunculus. So the spring subscriptions will be wrapped up by the time Mother's Day comes. So later in May, I don't want to constantly be, you know, selling flowers and tulips, and I want them pretty well done. So for me, my high tunnel, for a lot of reasons, my high tunnels, plural, I use them to extend my season but break up a lot of the work and succession plant. So not everything is blooming at once, and it helps just protect things, gets on an earlier start, you know, gets the ranunculus going earlier. I don't think I could grow ranunculus without a high tunnel, by the way, but that's a story for another episode. But the tulips, I do think, you know, you can do this in theory with a low tunnel outside as well. I just think it'd be a lot more work. You could build the hoops, but with mine, like, you just slide the tops up and down, or even a lot of times in February, I just open the front door, or I open half of the Dutch door just enough to get the cool air in there. Because the thing is, it's not, you know, the Midwest saying where it's like, it's not the heat that'll get you, it's the humidity, or, you know, it wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't for the dang wind. Like, those are two sayings that we say all the time. And my saying for the high tunnel is, you know, it's not the temperature that matters, it's the amount of sunshine. So a sunny 25 degree day can get that high tunnel cooking to 80 degrees on the inside, whereas a 50 degree really cloudy day, it's probably 60 degrees inside the high tunnel. And so you really have to keep an eye out on the sunny days, and that'll, you know, really make a big difference. And so if it's, I mean, there were days where it was 20 degrees outside, but it was so sunny. And so I just opened the front door, the Dutch door, because I didn't want it getting too cold in there, especially with the ranunculus, but the tulip one as well, because you don't want them to bloom on a short stem. You want them to go through a spring. Tulips need a spring to get that long stem length. So I talk about this in a lot of episodes, but, you know, looking at where your resources are, having water. I have a permanent hydrant right next to my tunnels. So we dug it 8 foot deep so it wouldn't snow, so it wouldn't freeze. So we don't have to flush out those lines in the wintertime. And so that's been instrumental, because we had a pretty warm February and I had to water the ranunculus. I had to water the tulips right when they were first coming up. So having access to water is huge as well. But I think that, you know, could you do this with a low tunnel outside? Yeah, in theory, but you're going to be using like cinder blocks, where if I've got like the strings, I can open the sides, I can just open one end, I can just vent it. It's just a lot easier to control with the high tunnels. And my high tunnels were not that expensive. If you figure in the ends that zip up, and I don't have, you know, the Dutch doors on them, I mean, they were under $5,000 a piece. And I mean, in year one, paid for it. So they were a huge investment in my flower farm that was way worth it. But the biggest thing is, customers aren't going to buy 3 bouquets a week. They're not going to buy, you know, if I have 20,000 flowers blooming in a 2-week period, I need to sell 10,000 tulips a week for 2 weeks. That's just not happening. And so between having a high tunnel, having flowers outside, having subscriptions, having booked events, having, you know, the U-Pick piece of it, having my huge walk-in cooler that I can pull them up on the bulb, having water right there so that I can process them, clean them off right away, then store them. I do think I'm going to try to bundle them in like groups of 20 just for like easy count, and I know exactly how many are where. But having that good storage in there, but you got to let them dry out a little bit. You can't just put wet tulips in, you know, if you spray them with water to clean off all the dirt from the bulbs, you can't just have that inside the cooler or they're going to mold. So you got to be careful about like letting them dry out. So it's a process. So like having this streamlined is definitely going to help make it more efficient. But I just think tulips to me are a wonderful addition to my flower farm because my customers go crazy over them. I can really control and manipulate when they bloom. I've considered next year when it's an actual normal winter, I might even do a low tunnel on half of it. So then I have almost three. So then the ones inside of the high tunnel, 5,500 bloom right away. And that can be for subscriptions only. And then, you know, kind of divide that up just to really anything that you can do to manipulate and spread out the work, plus spread out the offerings that it's able, because I can't sell 10,000 a week for 2 weeks, but I could sell 2,000 a week for 10 weeks pretty dang easily. Like that's what I'm doing. Takes a lot of planning. Yeah, that's where they came up with the name. Peddling Perishable Products Takes Planning. So that is my business course. If any of you are new to the podcast, I do offer a course in the fall, in the spring. It's called Peddling Perishable Products, and it is the comprehensive business course on the business of peddling, you know, growing things that you have to be really mindful. Otherwise, you end up throwing them away and losing money. I have some a la carte courses as well on the website. That's all found on sunnymerrymeadowcoaching.com. But these are all just kind of lessons and tidbits and things to think about. And yeah, it's taken me a long time to figure out how to grow tulips on my farm in a way that works for me. And I really enjoy it. And the best part is when it's time to start planting, you know, my last frost date is typically May 15th. And so hopefully the plan is these are going to be completely done by then. I'm going to have my own tulips to use for Mother's Day. It just turns into way more profitable. This year, Easter was the end of March, so I missed that cutoff. I had some from the crates, but the rest were wholesale, and I hate it. Next year, it's going to be my own tulips, so that's awesome, and it just makes it all the more profitable and just is more consistent with my brand and what the subscriptions are going to look like, because I get a lot of one-off customers that buy my wholesale flowers for events, but then those aren't really an accurate reflection of what the subscriptions look like. So I don't know. I'm always battling myself. I'm always competing against myself, and it's annoying, but I'm starting to win. So it's good. I'm starting to win the fight of me versus me, which is exciting. But yeah, so I hope that you guys enjoyed this episode. If you have any questions or comments, please email us podcast@sunnymerrymeadow.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and rate us. You can also find our Facebook group within the episode notes, Sunny Merry Meadow Podcast Flowerers. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening to the Sunny Merry Meadow Podcast. I'm your host, Liz. If you like what you're hearing, please subscribe and rate us. You can find us on Instagram, Pinterest, and Facebook at Sunny Merry Meadow. Subscribe to our email newsletter at sunnymerrymeadow.com. And if you have questions or comments or anything to say, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at podcast@sunnymerrymeadow.com.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Merry Meadow, they smell so good. sunnymerrymeadow.com.